Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to Chai Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I am Victoria Vitier, Enlightened Life Coach and Consultant, and I'm doing the show with my lovely co-host, Mary Rockenstein. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Victoria. Hello, everyone. What a beautiful day.
It is. We hope you're having a beautiful day where you are, and we've got a beautiful show. We're going to get right into things here because we are doing a series of actually four shows, two in May and two in June, on the issue of gender and work. And the reason we picked these months is because May is Mother's Day month and June is Father's Day month. And so we wanted to look at some of the issues that have to do with being male and being female in the workplace and kind of what's going on out there and how it could improve. Because the whole basis of our show, right, Mary, is to transform the world of work, creating
Absolutely.
New worlds at work.
Yeah, yep,
we want
absolutely.
To make it help you make it better. So we're going to get right into things. We did our first show in this series a couple of weeks ago, and we did a little broad perspective there on some historical perspectives, some developmental research, some psychological research on expectancy and on attribution and how men and women look at their success and failures and what they expect themselves to do in the future. Very interesting kinds of things we talked about last time to intro the show in the big picture. And then we started to look at, okay, what's actually going on in the workplace as we look at this backdrop of research that shows that men and women have been enculturated, socialized differently. Developmentally, they hit different points that make it challenging for them. And then how does that show up in their adult work world life? Right, Mary? So we did that at the top of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a challenge.
Indeed. In this show, we're going to take a look at, okay, what's going on here in current research, current work life. Mary's going to, update us. She's the expert on some of these pieces here about how this translates into the work world, where the challenges are and what areas. We're going to go over seven of them today, and then we're going to pick it up next time and do part B and go over another seven areas of workplace challenge and ways that we believe that we can suggest that these become mitigated and that they get better. So, Mary, why don't we just jump in and take a look at glass ceiling and leaky pipeline, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. You know, Victoria, when you and I were, I guess, completing our undergrad degrees, there was a lot of talk back then in the day about this thing called the glass ceiling. It was real. I mean, it wasn't just a perception or a paradigm. It was actually a real challenge that existed. And, briefly, it made it almost impossible for a woman to get into leadership and then certainly advance in leadership. And what the McKinsey research is showing, and just to remind everyone, a lot of the data that we're going to pull for today's show came out of that report and also Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. And Sheryl contributed to the McKinsey report through her leanin.org. But here's the difference. What they're saying right now is it's not really a glass ceiling. It's really more of a leaky pipeline because in the lower levels of leadership, women are advancing. They are getting into leadership roles and they're moving up into, middle levels of management and leadership. But the problem is they are not, they're kind of falling off. The further up the ladder they go, fewer and fewer women are coming along. And so as a result, if you look at the number of women in Fortune 500 companies, women only represent about 2-3% of the CEOs in Fortune 500 organizations, which I don't know about you, Victoria, but I think that's pretty startling.
Yep, it really is. Yes.
And part of why that's concerning is because, and you may know this, but women account for about 57% of all bachelor's degrees, almost 60% of master's degrees, and clearly about 52% of all doctor degrees, PhDs. So, you know, in looking at that, one would think that statistically you'd have a lot more women in senior level positions. So, you know, the question might come to mind then, certainly it would to me, it's like, well, what the heck's going on and what's preventing women, you know, from advancing into these roles? And, you know, I think one of the we're going to talk about this in a few minutes when we get into workplace challenges, Victoria, but I think one of the things that we need to talk about is the fact that women view the C-level as being just much more stressful than men do. When men think about advancing to the C-level, their big concern is work-life balance. When women think about advancing to the C-level, it's completely stressful for them. And I believe, I'm not saying that this is in the research, I'm going to throw in my two cents, but I believe also there's a concern because there aren't as many women at those levels bringing other women along. That's also, I think, part of the problem and part of the paradigm. What do you think?
Yes, the support is missing. The network is missing in those. And the other piece is that there's a disproportionate amount of stress that women all are already under trying to do taking care of home life. And there is still, there has been a bit more a participation of of men in the domestic, you know, caretaking and maintenance of home life, et cetera, family, you know, daily life. But women still do a preponderance of that, of those duties, and are still really stressed when it comes to thinking about putting any more attention and effort into advancement in their careers because they already have a full-time job at home.
That's right.
And that's just the truth of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's another little tidbit, too, that our listeners may or may not be aware of, but some of the information also shows that one of the barriers, I guess, that's preventing women from really moving up is because 65% of the what I would call the executive level positions in line leadership positions are held by men. And what does that mean? Well, if you think of a line level position, that would be something that's directly related to the product or the operation of a business. So if your business is producing widgets, then the operational team that produces the widgets, what they're basically saying is most of those positions are held by men. Women typically hold the staff positions, and those would be the support positions. So if you think about the people that typically end up in the C-level suite, they more often than not come out of the line level, which again, Victoria, I think has its roots even outside of work, back in family. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when we talk about what's going on in the workplace, you cannot separate that from the broader place within which women serve in their families, in their community, in their culture. And so this all has the backdrop of socialization and how are women perceived in terms of their role in the world and how are men perceived in terms of their role in the world and in their families then as a microcosm of that world and then in their work as a reflection of that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't start at work. It has a bigger backdrop, and we'll talk about more of this at the toward the second half of the next show. But there are levels to this, and so changing this is complicated because it has to do with some very deeply, strongly held perceptions and stereotypes and biases and socialization patterns.
Yeah, it does. And you know, so one, because of all of this, might ask the question, well, you know, does this really matter? It's kind of the way things have been, and we're evolving a little bit. But here's really why it matters, I believe, and it's really it's a financial, it's a math problem, because again, the research will show you that the companies that have a greater representation of women in the boardroom, you know, at the C level, typically outperform those that don't by more than 20%. So if you think about profitability, shareholder revenue, all of that, the companies that have women in the boardroom perform better. which again, they're also, the women are holding more of the degrees, so there's kind of a correlation there, I believe. And, you know, you had an interesting slide up, as I recall, for our last show, and it was something, again, that was right out of this research. And I believe, Victoria, it said that it's going to take 25 years to reach gender parity at the senior VP level and more than 100 years in the C-suite. Is that correct? Am I remembering
that
correctly?
Yeah, actually, that was a quote from Lean In. Yeah, that's from from the TED Talk by Sheryl Sandberg. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a long time to wait, right? I mean, we can be patient, but that's kind of ridiculous, I think. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I know
patience,
we're all living
virtue,
longer, but
yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you and I've had this conversation, I think, offline too. And you know, you and I are not advocating that. Gosh, we have to move quickly into 50% women, 50% men, you know, in these advanced leadership positions in order for the workplace to be balanced. It really comes down more so to, I think, an awareness and appreciation for the fact that we need both masculine and feminine qualities, and both need to be represented. And, right, I mean, again, I'm just saying this like it was yesterday we had this
conversation. Well, you know, the fact here isn't an either or. It is understanding where the issue really comes from,
mm-hmm.
what terrible, eventual outcomes it has for
mm-hmm.
Men and women in terms of their workplace relationships, their professional development, their bottom line, can they feed their family? This has repercussions in a real practical way, but it also comes from a backdrop of perceptions and biases that really have to be changed, and some it's simply eradicated because,
yeah.
you know, dragging your knuckles on the ground as, you know, Neanderthal, you know, reaches, you know, standing erect, you know, we really need to move this along quicker than that.
Why don't we, let's move into, because I think we can further, I think, shine a light on that idea about needing both masculine and feminine qualities.
Absolutely.
In the workplace. Let's get into some workplace challenges. And I, you know, we're going to go over a few of them today on this show, and then we're going to go over a few more on the next show
mm-hmm.
because there are many, but we're going to highlight probably, you know, 10 to 15 of them. So if we start with promotions, and this is pretty... This is pretty interesting to me, too, because, again, this is just not my opinion. This is actual research. But, Victoria, men are typically promoted more often based on potential, and women are more often promoted based on past performance. That is not a level playing field. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely not. However, if you look at this in a way, it makes logical sense because if you see more men at higher levels in a company, you can project potential.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't see women at higher levels, what can you project?
Right.
You don't have a projection point.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, in terms of kind of mitigating this, how do we get out of it? You know, I think first and foremost, hiring managers, people in C-level positions, boards of directors, you know, that are making decisions about moving people into higher levels of leadership need to be aware of this predisposition, first of all, right? Because you have to be aware of something before you can change it. And,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, from where I stand, it's like, pick one. If you want to promote based on potential, then let's level the playing field and look at women the same way. If you're going to maintain that past performance is where it's at, then let's look at the track record of men. Again, we're not being anti-male, pro-female. It's just we have to level that playing field. So you have to be aware of it first and foremost and then decide which direction are you going to go. I think there's another piece, though, too. Until we improve these numbers and we're able to advance more women into senior levels, men, and I know this is happening already. I know of some companies that are doing a great job with creating formal mentorship programs, and some of the senior-level men are stepping up and mentoring junior-level women. Now, ideally, it would be some senior-level women mentoring those women, but, you know, until we can, again, even the playing field a little bit, I think that's a good next step.
Absolutely. At this point, you know, there needs to be a support network for women, no matter if it's mixed gender or women, mentoring women. There simply needs to be more focus on the potential women. And again, when you see a woman at a high level in a company, there's so few that a person can easily say, oh, well, she's an exception.
Yeah.
Again, these are biases in our perception, which are very, very dangerous, because that's what creates the leaky pipeline. That's what creates the closing of the funnel as it goes up the scale for women.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is. And another challenge I'm going to throw out, because I think it ties in with this conversation, is, you know, the issue of confidence. There is an old saying, which I find to be quite truthful, and that is, confidence trumps competence all day long. And again, here's where it gets into a gender issue, is because men typically will convey more competence at work, whether it's they're interviewing for a promotion or a big project or just having a general conversation. They will be more comfortable kind of winging it and portraying a more confident kind of image, whereas women tend to feel unprepared no matter how much time they've spent, you know, working on something or preparing or studying. And whereas a guy will apply for a job that he is in no way, shape, or form qualified for, women will not do that. It's a very different situation, which, again, I think feeds right back into the promotion. There's a reason why some women are not applying for these higher levels. They don't feel like they're prepared. And they may be more prepared than the men, but the men are more confident.
Again, this goes back to, you know, developmental research, research on expectations, research on attributions of success and failure. This has to be, I believe, really formally developed in women. I also believe it's every woman's responsibility, because when we hit puberty, and pre-puberty even, women hit the wall in terms of their confidence. They are swashbucklers until they hit that point. And then at that point, there is a huge wall that they hit in terms of sexist gender enculturation. So it's up to each woman to go do your self-development, find a coach, work not even inside the company necessarily, but outside the company. Go do your own development so that you can put that what is really self-parenting in place, and you can be your own source of validation, such that you're not looking outside yourself so much for this to happen, because honestly, the deck's been stacked ever since you hit puberty. And you can look at this in all the research. This even happens with if you look at little girls and little boys are encouraged to take risks. Little girls are protected.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes back to lots and lots of stuff. So we've got to kind of nip this at this point and change the course as adults. Yeah.
So I would recommend to, you know, if we have human resource managers or leaders, I should say, listening in, or, you know, other leaders who are listening in and saying, yeah, I want to help, you know, I want to be part of the, you know, the solution to this and help, again, level the playing field. There's a really great book written by Katty Kay and Claire Shipman called The Confidence Code, and the subtitle is The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. So, again, we are not naturally confident. That is a really great read. I would highly recommend that. I would also recommend, you know, trying to give women more stretch assignments to build the confidence in the workplace. So the next area I want to move into, workplace challenge, and I'm chuckling at this because this is certainly not a strength of mine, but negotiating. There was a research study done by a college that's near and dear to both of our hearts, Carnegie Mellon, and because it's in our home city, right, Pittsburgh.
Yay.
And they found that male students typically attained salaries that were almost 8% higher than women, which, again, directly goes back to the ability to negotiate. And, you know, it goes, if you also look at the further information, once women get into the workplace, this was a recently released number. It's coming up a little bit. I know when Sheryl Sandberg wrote her book, Lean In, she referred to the fact that women earn 70 cents to the dollar as to what men earn. Well, now it's up to 81 cents. So at least we're going in the right direction. But you know what? Until it gets to even playing field, it's not appropriate. It's not okay.
No, absolutely. But if you look at this, it's the domino effect. Each section that we're looking at here, promotions, confidence, negotiation, have to do with other things. You're not going to negotiate so well if you have issues of confidence that you're struggling with.
That's right.
And things like the imposter syndrome, look that one up. There's a lot of research on that, where when women do achieve, they go, oh, gee, you know, is this fake or am I really doing this? Again,
yeah.
there are deep levels of confidence issues that women struggle with often. Also, promotions and visibility.
Yeah.
If you're
negotiating
for a high position, take a look and see how many women are there. You're likely to be a little shaky when you go, gee, you know, very few people have tread before me here in my gender.
Yep.
So again, all of this is cumulative. It's not just one of these pieces apart from all the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So anything that we can do or a company can do or a person can do to mitigate these areas of challenge either within them or within their company, we are urging you to do it like today, changing these things.
Yeah, absolutely. One that I'm just going to throw out there, I don't think it's one that, you know, we'll talk a lot about, but just technology, and this one really doesn't surprise me very much, that men typically are the early adapters when it comes to new technology, gadgets and things, and women just don't rely on, you know, the new technology or having to be out there and be one of the early adapters as much. I honestly think that's just because, again, it goes back to what we talked about before, the responsibilities outside of the workplace. I just don't think women have time. If it's something proven and they need it to advance in their job or to be more effective, I think women will adapt. But otherwise, I just think they look at that as that's not their priority.
Just quickly add into that, first of all, there are a lot of brilliant women techs out there and techie, you know, women who understand this stuff really well and are incredible with it. But the fact is that women and men neurologically do function a bit differently. Men are much more binary in their functioning neurologically. So there is a basis to this. Women are much more spatial and holistic.
Yeah.
And so there is something to this gender difference here, but that's not to
very
say
interesting.
There are thousands of brilliant women out there who really need, you know, to be stepping up into, you know, higher positions of technological leadership.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thank you for adding that.
You're welcome.
So, in talking about workplace challenges, studies show that women, there was a study done in, I think it was 2009, by a company called Accenture, and they found that in workplace settings, 70% of business women were typically asking for more challenges at work or new challenges, whereas only 50% of the men were asking for those challenges. And I take that right back to the very first challenge that we talked about in terms of promotions. You know, should this not relate to one's eligibility to be promoted? And if so, then again, I think it's time that we level the playing field. There's a lot of talk out there right now about meritocracy, even though that's not a new term. I think there was a book written back in the 50s on that. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about should the thought leaders who are really advancing and coming up with, you know, these winning ideas, should they be advancing, you know, more so. And I think what women are seeing is they don't believe that that's really happening. You know, women believe that companies talk about having a meritocracy, but when it comes right down to it, again, that's not really where the rubber is meeting the road.
No, again, it's because of, you know, the way that things have been stacked for a long, long time. People revert back to, you know, the enculturated formats that they know and feel comfortable with, which are biased, and they're not logical. When something doesn't make logical sense, I want to tell everybody out there, it's always going to make psychological sense. So like this Accenture study, of course, if women are looking for new challenges more so than men, they should be the ones who are advancing. That makes logical sense, but it's not happening because of the psychological sense that it makes, which is that biases, projections, stereotypes, gender enculturation trumps data.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's
exactly.
not happening. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It needs to happen. Yeah.
And then, it does. It does. And then I think lastly, just to wrap up our workplace challenges for today, because Lord knows we have many of them. But
oh, there's more. Don't worry.
Yeah, there's plenty more. But, you know, in terms of hours worked, there's a little bit of a difference there in that there was a study done by CareerSite, The Fit, it showed that 41% of men would agree to work, let's say, 9 to 11 hours a day, and then they would consider doing work on vacation. Because if you think about sea level, that's kind of the paradigm. The same poll showed that, whereas 41% of men, 54% of women said that they would work those hours and that they would also likely do work over on vacation. And again, I think that just goes back to me, that's still pretty staggering, because for most women, your job is not done when you leave your job. You know, you have a lot of work to do at home. And Victoria, you brought up an interesting point, whereas I think in millennial households, there's maybe a better sharing of responsibilities.
Yeah,
the
picture
home
is changing somewhat. In fact, we have, you know, the stay-at-home dads, unquote, you know, who are basically sort of doing the roles, you know, that in the 1950s were reversed. So we are seeing, you know, by decade, an evolution in a little bit more parity and sharing, you know, and men becoming much more involved, you know, intrinsically in the life of their family and children, et cetera. But,
yeah,
you know, this evolves slowly, and the fact still is, you know, that it's, you know, when women hit the workplace, regardless of how much work at home their husbands may be doing or what kind of shared household duties there are, they still, you know, have all of these challenges when they hit the workplace, because it's still stacked,
yeah,
as we've discovered in the studies and in real workplace life. Hey, you know, they're looking up the pike and going, gee, where are the women?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what is the home play for this week? What do you want
to
do?
Well, hey, guys,
we
thought, you know, we always leave you with a little something to practice. That's kind of what we do here. But I'm thinking about two things. One, where women are listening out there, and you're going, yeah, all this stuff's true. Gee whiz, you know, what do I do now? I'm thinking that for women, you really, I think, need to take a look at, yeah, you know, you may be wanting to advance yourself or do some things that are a little different, maybe change you know, a little bit of focus in your career, whatever, but you're lacking some of the confidence that you need to advocate for yourself, because you're the one who's got to have the voice to tell other people who you are, what you're worth, and that you want these opportunities. If you have any reticence about that, it's really important that you think about what you can do to shore that up. You can work,
yeah,
with a coach, such as the work that I do with people. It's very, very effective. You can look at work and see where are there places I can get involved to practice these skills, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really incumbent upon you to bring yourself to the place where you can advocate for yourself, because you're going to be doing, you know, some frontier work here and pushing this further than maybe it's been pushed before. And if you want to see more women at higher levels in your business, you've got to be one of those who's willing to step out and be one of those women.
Yeah.
Men, what I'd like you to do is think about where, become more sort of gender savvy here, more gender sensitive, and understand that there are real challenges for women in a system that you take for granted. So I would like you to take a look at your workplace and see where you may be able to give, you know, a support, you know, some kind of mentoring or some kind of attention, you know, to a woman who you see is maybe needing that support and that mentoring from you and other men in the workplace. So think about putting some women, you know, on your team there in terms of who you're supporting and how you're supporting people. Take a look at it and look at where the women may be needing your, you know, comradeship in this. Right, Mary?
Great. Absolutely. Sounds like a
All
great
right.
assignment.
Well, hey, guys, we got about 7 more of these to look at, and we're going to jump right in at the beginning of next show and get to the rest of these because they're juicy. So you guys all have a good couple of weeks. We're going to be seeing you on, what's the date, Mary, 24th, I think it is, or
No, we're going to
be doing our next show on the 6th. That's right. Let's see. Where are we here? We're going to be doing our next show in 2 weeks, aren't we? 2 weeks out.
That's right. It's always,
all right,
yes,
everybody.
We try to do
so
it every 2 weeks.
Tune in
It'll
for the next show.
The
share. Yeah, yeah, the 7th. So share about these shows, please, because this is important stuff. We want to help you change things. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Right, Mary?
Have a good week, everyone. A good couple of weeks.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.